You're listening to the Zipline Logistics Truck Yeah podcast, where we explore all kinds of hot topics in the logistics industry. Get ready to learn, laugh, and get your freight on. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another edition of the Zipline Logistics podcast. My name is Jesse Jewett. Joined with me, as always, Teddy Lee Knox. Hello, Teddy.
Hello. How are you?
Wonderful. We have a special guest, another recurring guest, our LTL specialist, Curtis Garrett, the CEO at Rate Hero. Hello, Curtis.
Hello. Lucky number three, I think.
Yes.
Yeah. Check it out on other editions of the Truck Yeah podcast. But as I mentioned at the front, the top there, Curtis is a LTL, we're going to call you a guru, and we're just going to dive in.
I thought we agreed on wizard.
Wizard? Okay. Apologies.
Or warlock or something.
There was warlock. Something magical is basically what we're trying to say.
I heard Overlord once.
Okay.
I don't know how. It was from a younger guy in the video game generation, so
I like that
one. I think that was his word for guru, but call me what you need to.
There's a little edge to Overlord. I like that.
Yeah, you have your options now.
But today we're talking about optimizing LTL. Okay. So to me, when I hear that, it's like just making sure, you know, LTL can be super beneficial, in my opinion, as far as driving down costs for our customers. And Curtis is going to correct me if I'm wrong, but, so the best way to do that is kind of checking a lot of boxes on information and some of the things that we're going to get into. So right off the bat, Curtis, why don't you give us like a 2 to 5 minute kind of just rundown of general LTL information and or knowledge?
Sure. And you're right that it does drive the cost down. You know, the power of the LTL networks are what enables somebody to ship a single pallet across the country for a couple hundred dollars instead of whatever the cost of a full truck would be. So, that's definitely what it's about, being nimble and flexible and, you know, able to back into a dock and get one pallet or get half trailer. That's kind of the cool capability and flexibility of an LTL network and the carriers within the market. The other thing too, just from the word optimization, a lot of people think of that in a sense that might mean, you know, consolidation and actually grouping LTL shipments to take them out of an LTL network into truckload or some other mode. So that's definitely one part of it as well, you know, in the overall supply chain view and just, you know, customer specific and relevant analyses. But when I think about truly optimizing LTL, it really has to start, I think, from a knowledge standpoint. Because there are so many variables, so many moving parts, you know, just when you look specifically at the carrier side and all of their differences and technology constraints or abilities from one to the next, equipment constraints, you know, it's so easy just to like really broad brush every carrier in the LTL market and think that everyone's the same and everyone has the same capabilities and preferences. But there's carriers out there, there's large LTL carriers, you know, one I'm thinking of that's a regional or actually a super regional, covers multiple states. And their line haul network is comprised of like 55% straight trucks. It's, you know, it's a little different than your typical pup trailers that are 28 feet long and, you know, the full height of a regular 53. And so they're, you know, where they're located, there's a lot more bigger metro areas and they're trying to probably put together, you know, milk runs and do next day or even potentially same day deliveries where they can, if they're picking up and delivering, you know, on the same unit. And that just makes them more nimble, without kind of the constraint of just putting their nets in every morning, you know, getting all the shipments and then bringing everything back to that local terminal to then consolidate and reroute and that sort of thing. So, and I want to tell people like it is possible. Like LTL can seem overwhelming. And I've said in the past, you know, it shouldn't be where in any industry, in my opinion, like it takes 10 years of pain and battle scars to kind of like deem yourself proficient in it, and be comfortable with it. So I think if you approach it right on the front end and you really understand all of these variables and moving parts and options really is what they surmount to be, you know, then you can build a good LTL framework or system for your company and for your clients. And a lot of it, like the cool thing about LTL, all the moving parts, they're named, they're categorized, they're, you know, you can attach logic to them. So It's not a lot of gray. It's not a lot of like, well, I hope the driver had it, you know, is having a good day and I can reach them or they're going to get to my location on time. It's a very highly, you know, highly systematized engine that is predictable for the most part. And from a pricing and procurement standpoint up front to, you know, doing your bid and building the right program to cover the right costs and service down to audit and payments and kind of finalizing, you know, the life cycle of an LTL shipment, it is very controllable, very, very systematized. And the key is just arm yourself with the knowledge up front to be able to move those parts and pieces around in the way that makes sense for you.
I feel like everything you're saying, we deal with it every single day, makes sense. Like, yes, so easy to do. But I feel like, you know, even people onboarding into Zipline for the first time, talking to customers, talking to anyone else, when you go through these things, it's just the amount of times you get stopped to be like, what does that mean? What about this situation? What about that situation? And there's only so many scenarios you can go through. But once you get that knowledge, which takes a decent amount of time to understand how this system works, you're set. But I think that's also why it is so important to have the right resources, whether that is connections actually with that, you know, LTL carrier, those carrier relationships, but then also someone that you're able to discuss with and discuss options to see, you know, loading, stackability, things like that, that make the biggest difference when, even though you have the knowledge, you still need to be able to bounce those ideas off of them.
Absolutely. And your go-to-market strategy, you know, for a 3PL specifically in this case, like the way Zipline does it already puts you further ahead, I think, because you're so, you know, focused on a specific niche and vertical. So you have no choice but to get, you know, way upstream with your customers and way downstream with your carrier partners and kind of, you know all the variables involved there. Where if I think back to all the years, you know, all the companies that I've seen and either been a part of or been privy to, the ones that have the most like chaos and just kind of have that, well, LTL is the necessary evil, you know, something's going to go wrong type of mentality, they're always the broadest and they're more transactional, you know, using blanket rates only, getting rates from anybody and everybody, you know, like boasting about, hey, there's 37 LTL carriers quoting on every shipment in our TMS. And when you're just choosing, you know, who the right carrier is from a routing perspective based on that cheapest price, there's all these other variables from a service and capability side that aren't aligned. And then that's why you're going to run into more issues. So the focus and streamline aspect of take a bit of a risk to say, yeah, we're not going to be everything to everybody. We're going to focus on this industry or these markets specifically and be the best in those, I think is very smart. But I think a lot of companies are scared to do that because they don't want to potentially, you know, miss other business that might come their way. But
right.
It's working for Zipline.
I don't know why this popped into my head and it's not really applicable to this topic, but there's going to be a connection and I hope you both understand it and some of our listeners understand it. Recently,
let's guess what it was first.
Okay,
potatoes?
No.
Okay.
Watermelons.
In the recent, we'll call it recent. I haven't played a lot of video games in a relatively long time, but certainly in like if you're familiar with Tiger Woods PGA Tour game, really a lot of the games now have like customizable characters,
mm-hmm.
And that's how I'm trying to connect the dots to LTL. Like there are so many different categories, right? If you're a golfer, you can customize your shoes, your shirt, your pants, your wristbands, your glove, your hat, your visor, your clubs, right? There's 14 clubs in your bag, all these things, your ball. And LTL is the same way, right? You've got all of these different categories that you can customize to get and drill down into the like the most specific pricing and in our case, best pricing that you could possibly have. You mentioned regions, yeah. You mentioned product, you mentioned receivers, lift gates, inside delivery, white glove service. I mean, all of these things, class.
Yeah, there's so many things.
Right. So that's kind of where I was thinking about it of like, it is a little bit video game-esque. It just popped in there thinking of like a screen and clicking all these boxes and changing it around.
I think that's such a good point and how quickly something can actually go wrong by clicking the wrong box.
Yeah.
Like if you pick the wrong piece of equipment, depending on the game, and you lose and you can't switch it. Like all of that goes into it. So I think that it is like a video game, and like any video game, you have to be able to play it. You have to experience it. You got to listen to the intros, I assume. I actually don't play video games. I'm the wrong person to be talking about this.
You understand.
But you gotta like do a little pre-work, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one of the best analogies I've heard, actually.
Well done.
And it makes me think of something I often talk about. Like I look at the LTL industry like either a team with the different carriers as different players on the team or one level up, and it's like a league, and each carrier is like a team that has different, you know, different skill sets, different payroll levels. If you think of that customized player and they have all the bars, you know, their swing speed is this and their accuracy is this. And yeah, that'd be a really cool way to actually visually kind of show.
We're going into UNFI. I really need the short game button. I need putting to be maxed out. No, I was thinking, we'll digress a little further. Do you remember Mega Man 2, Curtis? Do you remember those games?
I didn't play it, but I definitely know the name.
So they had a bunch of different boards, and it was like you had to beat Wood Man or Metal Man. Those were the bad guys. And then you got their attribute. Mm-hmm. Added to your arsenal. So then you could pick, I think in the middle of the board, what weapon you wanted to use. So then if you were fighting the fireman and you were water guy, it would crush him.
All of these sound like some variation of Running Man. Like
future Glenn Powell movie, Teddy. Get
excited.
All right, that's a different podcast. But anyways, video games and tech, that's transitioning into our next topic of technology and integration with those carriers. Let's talk about that, because that's really, I guess I've only been doing this for 18 years, but and there's certainly some tech that was prevalent in the early days of my transportation experience. But I feel like post-COVID, tech's been a big driver in the transportation world, but certainly in the LTL world.
And I think it's an important topic now as we're all kind of, you know, looking to what's going to leapfrog us ahead with AI and all of the amazing, you know, fully automated tech. But even just looking at what is available in the here and now in the LTL space, there's so much, I would say, like unharvested or unused information and data points that you can get and you can use to better automate and systematize your LTL programs for your customer. And even just thinking about, you know, carrier websites in general, like I would say 5 to 10 years ago, you know, the average carrier website in the LTL world looked like it was from the late 90s. And you might have had some, you know, rate quoting and track and trace functionality, but there's been a huge uptick in just the quality and the richness of your average LTL carrier's website now. They're posting quite often live, you know, updates if, say, terminals are closed due to weather issues or lane embargoes or holidays. All their service points are usually accessible from their website, you know, through a file download. So there's a lot of valuable stuff on there. You know, obviously their rules, tariffs, basically anything you need to know in order to not just do business with that company, but you know, enhance the business and make it a smooth, low friction experience. And I think the stage we're in now is getting a lot of that information that is essentially sitting on a website and kind of siloed there, you know, connected and integrated through more APIs to their customers and to the different technology platforms that their customers are using. So we've had, you know, the four or five main API calls in the industry now for probably close to 10 years. with a few companies, you know, like Banyan and P44 and a few other TMS platforms that were early in writing their own APIs. They've kind of led the way. And now it's very common to be able to get, you know, a rating API call, tendering or pickup request, a tracking, you know, and then like an imaging basically to pull those documents, carrier documents over. But there's more, you know, there's actually more currently available. Like there's a standard for the electronic bill of lading through mm-hmm. API. So you can push that accurate shipment data to the carriers sooner in the process. Which again, in a vertical that Zipline plays in is very important because you have all of these different vendors shipping into your customers and they're not always going to use the correct accurate bill of lading. So if you can get the carrier that electronic bill of lading and that's kind of the gospel truth in that shipment, you know, then the vendor, the shipper could give the carrier a napkin or whatever they want. And the carrier's they're going to already have that digital data. They're going to know whose pricing to connect it to and who to bill essentially. So, and then there's more, there's different carriers are developing some of their own, like around API invoicing and disputing. And then the LTL Digital Council, that's really, it's organized and maintained by the NMFTA, but it's an amalgamation of a bunch of large carriers and 3PLs that are all kind of working collaboratively on new and better API connectivity. So pre-pickup visibility is one where kind of in the parcel world, you know, you can see how many stops away the truck is before it gets to your location.
Yeah.
Charges being sent over, you know, before you actually get the invoice through your EDI or email or however you get the invoices. So carriers are doing a pretty good job at, you know, saying, okay, we built up this mass of data points and information that, you know, basically tell the story. They're the blueprint of us and our services as a company. And they're now, you know, getting those out through more of an automated, connected way to their customers. And it's just, there's so much in there. Like you look at one quick example, even your average API tracking call right now from a lot of carriers, most 3PLs and, you know, by way of whatever TMS they're using, they're really just kind of using the high level result of that, meaning, okay, it was at this terminal, you know, at this time. It's leaving for the next time. Like it really is just a tracking update, but there's so much useful information. You can use that tracking call to see if the weight changed, meaning there was a reweigh. Some of them will actually send you the shipment charges, kind of preliminary shipment charges in that tracking call. So you can use it to kind of pre-audit and get a jump on if there has been some sort of exception or change that, you know, will have a downstream effect on the invoice and the amount. So that's another thing I like to, you know, have companies look at. Is great to think 2 years ahead, 5 years ahead, whatever, but there's a lot of valuable unused data that carriers are sending you now, if you're integrated with them, that you can start using and really get up into the top, you know, 5% of LTL centric 3PLs pretty easily.
I hope that consortium of 3PLs and LTL carriers are using or tapping the Domino's tech team, because that tracking app is sick. They do real time. Right. That pizza is on point when it's showing up. And it does make sense, right? Like, I mean, the granular data in the world we live in of looking at your phone and seeing real time, you know, GPS data for your car or for a car that's picking you up or a food delivery or whatever. It only makes sense to explore that into packaging
totally.
And pallets and shipments. So it's exciting.
That's a good
stuff.
Point. Yeah. I mean, the B2C world, you know, any industry or company that's focused more on consumers is probably light years ahead of us in the freight world on kind of the UI, user experience, and just visibility. So I love looking at, yeah, what someone like a Domino's is doing, or, you know, Disney, or like just these innovative companies in different spaces there's a lot of stuff they're doing that I think would be transferable and pretty applicable in the LTL world and just make our customers happier in general.
Right.
Yeah.
I know we have great, not to plug, but also to plug our proprietary intelligence software, Canopy. We've got a great tracking page, the Summit, that provides, as best as we can, real-time data from either GPS tracking with truckloads or, like you said, translating some of that LTL information from the carrier into our customers' visibility. So,
yeah.
You know, anything that we can provide to make our customers' life easier, we would like to do that. So
I have three things I want to add to this page, topic. Sorry. So
one, like, you love Domino's.
One, I love Domino's. Okay. Yeah.
Number two.
So I think it's a really great point talking about all the things that you can get while tracking, like the tracking call with LTL. And I think a lot of carriers, a lot of brokers, a lot of customers are just like, LTL, it's non-guaranteed. You get what you get.
Yeah.
And it's not. It's you get what you like. You get what you work for.
Get what you optimize.
You get what
you
optimize.
We're talking about it, baby.
So I think, you know, having, again, those expectations, that understanding of what carrier you're working with. I have done so many LTL shipments that we almost treat as a dedicated shipment because they run so smoothly.
Yeah.
And they run so well. It's like clockwork and no one would ever guess it's LTL just based off of the conversations that we have. And I think there's a lot of options to use LTL, you know, again, with the technology, the website, you know where their terminals are, how quickly they're going to be able to pick up and deliver based off of those locations. And that's an extra element that you need to make sure that you're looking into when optimizing your system. The second part that I wanted to talk about was understanding what KPIs are more important to you and to your customer, because there is a lot of information and sometimes that can backfire. Sometimes when you look at your cost per pallet on LTL, it looks worse than when you're comparing it to your full truckload. So you need to make sure that you're understanding what KPIs to be looking at this to compare it successfully to other retailers and to your entire network. And then also the transit time, notice time, things like that really make a difference to see how efficient your network is. And then the last piece is not like falling into the technology too much. We are not afraid to call these terminals. I have many terminals that I talk to often. We're friends. We chat. You know, you got to.
We're best buds.
Best buds. You got to call and ask if you don't understand something and get the information, confirm what happened, where the trailer number is, see if maybe they put the sticker on the wrong piece of paper and have the wrong BOL because we didn't have the foresight to do the eBOL. But I think that those are the things that are really important to remember, too, is that you can't actually just fall in, oh, great, we got API connectivity. You don't need to do anything else.
Yeah.
That is not correct. And if you have anyone telling you that, please double check. Ask more questions.
Great call, Ashra.
Yep.
The final
it's data and connectivity with a layer of nuance within, you know, the foundation of good relationships.
That's logistics in a nutshell.
Yeah.
But that leads us to kind of our last touching point. Like setting up a program or a customer, kind of engineering the optimization. I know we've kind of touched on a lot of these, Curtis, but why don't you kind of run through that from our show notes, how you would efficiently optimize a customer setup?
Yeah, I would say most of what we've talked about is kind of like at a global, you know, infrastructure level, where these are all good practices that can potentially work for anyone. But when it comes to a specific customer and, you know, starting with an RFP, getting pricing back from all potential service providers, and then making the choice, you know, that's always got to be a combination of price and service. It's wherever the intersection of those two axes falls, the price and service intersection, like that's what you got to go with, and that's who you have to award from a carrier perspective. So that's where things like, you know, you may have great tech integration and connectivity with a certain carrier, but when it comes to customer A, you know, if their terminal is 2 hours away, they're probably not going to be the best choice.
Right.
So you've got to get more granular, get to that customer specific level from shipping and receiving locations, the lane mix, the, you know, the service requirements.
Right.
They
only have 3% lift gates in their fleet, like in 90% right. of your deliveries are lift gate required, then it's probably not going to be a great fit.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And they're just their service and capabilities. Like to Teddy's point, you know, and to add to that, you also get what you pay for in LTL. Mm-hmm. And that's both from a carrier choice perspective, but also a lot of carriers have specific, you know, programs, guaranteed programs, retail programs, must arrive by programs. And a lot of times that makes a lot of sense. And it's actually pretty affordable. Just to get that extra spotlight and basically prioritize it within the carrier's network so that you know that customer's freight is going to make the next line haul schedule out. It's not going to sit on the dock as long. You know, it's going to be kind of in that top 5 to 10% of shipments that the carrier is handling. And it'd be interesting to know carrier by carrier, like what percentage of their shipments are just standard transit, standard service level versus one of those elevated service levels. And if I had to guess, it's probably the large majority of, you know, of their shipments that are standard, and people mm-hmm. get stingy on the front end and they don't want to pay the upcharge. But you have to look at the total end-to-end cost, you know, not only managing or facilitating that shipment as a third party, but are there more claims? Are there more exceptions? Are there, you know, late deliveries resulting in fines from retail consignees, grocery consignees, that sort of thing? So yeah, it's everything we talked about in the first half, and then just taking it a step lower to then connect the dots with, okay, what is this specific customer of mine need? You know, beyond just the price and the rates up front, but the locations, the capabilities, the equipment types, the size of the network. Does this carrier have enough, you know, TSA certified drivers if that customer has freight going into airports or whatever? So it does need to get very specific. But I think with, you know, with the current mix of the top 30 or 40 LTL carriers in the market, there's more than enough combinations to put the right program together for each customer.
Absolutely. Customize that character. That's going to be a big takeaway from this from this podcast. I think that kind of nails it. Any final parting thoughts? That was beautiful in that description of really uncovering every stone. Like we said, customizing all of the information and then, you know, I guess certainly learning from some of the choices, right, that you make. And I think keeping the information up to date, that's a big push here at Zipline, is trying to understand those, particularly on the receivers that we deliver into, like you mentioned, on a retailer base of, you know, they don't change super often, but when they do, it can impact the service levels significantly if a preferred carrier either comes out of favor or maybe stops dropping at those facilities, et cetera, et cetera. So it can change. But any other... anything that we missed, Curtis?
No, all I'm going to say is I hope Dustin listens to this, because next time I log into Canopy, I'd like to see a carrier character chooser.
Yeah.
Yes.
That would be sweet. That would be cool. Well, thank you once again, Curtis Garrett, CEO of Rate Hero, for joining us. As always, like and subscribe on Apple and Spotify. Check us out, www.ziplinelogistics.com, or give us a call if you want to talk about any LTL-related shipments, 888-GO-ZIPLINE. On behalf of Teddy, thank you for joining us for another edition of the Zipline Logistics Podcast. We'll see you next time. Thanks, Curtis.
Thank you, guys.